All right. That's good. Let's be in Deuteronomy tonight, chapter 15. You don't have to stand up. We'll just read our text sitting. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're just going to read verses 1 through 3, and I think we'll get the gist of what we're going to be talking about tonight with these verses. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of it his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. So we're going to be talking about the Lord, what is called the Lord's release, and the idea is the cancellation of debts. And it's as a nation, this would be a cause for them to have great unity and peace within the country, this seventh year cancellation of debts. But how does it work in our lives? Just one word: forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the difference that forgiveness will make in our lives as Christians is insurmountable. You cannot quantify how incredible forgiveness will work in your heart and in this church if we just learn how to work it as a Christian. Amen. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Guide us in your path. We need you and your help. So please help us to receive from you what is needful and needed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. One time, this would have been a long time ago, we had a doctor's bill that was pretty extensive for some procedures that were done on the kids, and we just didn't know how it was going to be taken care of. And then we got a phone call from the hospital that our debt had been canceled. It had been satisfied. And I still, to this day, have no idea why that happened. You know, I don't know if somebody paid it or if there was some kind of a thing that we qualified for and it caused our debt to be canceled. But we got the call out of the blue and it was gone. Well, that's a blessing, because that's, in a way, what Christ did for us in the sense of our sins. He canceled our sins. He paid a debt that we owed. Or how's it go? He paid a debt that he did not owe, and we owed a debt that we could not pay. And he paid our penalty for us. That's what forgiveness is. In Christ, we have forgiveness. In Christ, we have the blessing of the peace that God gives us that we didn't earn, nor did we deserve. And it's a relationship with him established through forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. It's a great blessing in our lives. In fact, I would say forgiveness is the greatest blessing in our lives, right? I also think that forgiveness is the greatest blessing in the lives of other Christians and in the church, in this sense, that we learn to be forgiving, and that'll affect the spirit of the church more than almost anything else. That God would in us teach us to be a forgiving, loving person. We need help with that, though. It's not an easy task at times, depending on what we're dealing with emotionally. Moses emphasized the seven-year law for the cancellation of debts called the Lord's release. Now, let me read to you again. Look at verse 1, the last word. It says, release. So he's making this law that there'll be a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Look at verse 4, the first part of it. Save when there shall be no more poor among you. So the word release here has to do with the remitting of a debt. It literally means, the word literally means to let it drop. It reminds me of when my kids would fight each other, and this has been a recent circumstance too that I've said this, that the boys would be fussing with each other and I'd get on to them about it, and then one of them just wouldn't let it end. He just kept talking and kept going at it. Finally, I looked at him and I said, "Drop it." And that's the idea here. The Lord's release means that it is to be dropped. It's like a permanent forgiveness, a permanent or an elimination of a debt. The cancellation, completely, permanently forgiven and forgotten. Hallelujah. I love that terminology, don't you? Forgiven and forgotten. I'm so glad he doesn't remember our sins when they go under the blood. When you say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins," that he doesn't bring it up tomorrow. He doesn't remember it. And there's a song called "What Sin?" And we come to him and he says, "Now, what sin are you referencing? The one I forgave yesterday? I forgot that. It's at the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, not to be remembered." That's forgiveness, forgiven and forgotten. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's forgiveness. It's a real part of our spiritual growth, our Christian life, his forgiveness. We need to go to him for forgiveness, right? Routinely, don't we? A wrong thought, a wrong word, a wrong action. "Lord, forgive me." You know, forget, if we confess our sins, confess means to agree with. So we don't just say the words, "Please forgive me," or "I'm sorry." But true forgiveness, or rather true repentance or confession, means there's a heart that's been convicted and desires to turn away from that sin. So what needs to happen when we confess our sins is we need to truly be sorry for that sin. Well, what does that mean? It means you don't really want to ever do it again. Does it mean you'll never do it again? No. But you don't want to. That's what confessing is. "God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this way. And you know my heart about this. I'm not making plans by asking for forgiveness, knowing I'm going to do it again. God, I don't want to do this again." You come to God with that spirit. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He'll forgive you. He's faithful to forgive. He'll always forgive you. There's never a time that you can make a mistake or sin or do something and God won't forgive you if you confess. That's good news. That's good news. Psalm 103, verse 10. I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there. But I will tell you this, that Psalm 103 is right up there at the top three of my favorite psalms. Let me read this verse to you. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." I don't know if that went over your head or not. Let me read it again. This is absolutely a staggering, incredible verse. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." So his mercy is so substantial in our day-to-day life that people who are even lost have not received what they truly deserve. Much less those you and me who are saved. We live in this life and there is sin that often just permeates our soul, and he has not dealt with us after our sin. His mercy is evident in our day-to-day life. His forgiveness is real, and we need it, and he desires to live in peace with us. Thankful for his forgiveness. Where would we be without the mercy of God? Where would we be without the grace of God? Where would we be without the forgiveness of God? Thank you for your forgiveness, Father. Thank you for your forgiveness. He's a good God. He's a forgiving God. And then he says this, "You need to learn how to forgive like I do." He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he's been an example for us in his mercy. And then he teaches us that we'll find God's blessings in our life if we'll just be merciful like He is. This isn't in my plan here, but I'm just going to do it here. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy, but go to Proverbs 3 with me. Proverbs 3. Grant, are you going to Proverbs 3? Sit on the front row, man. I'm seeing you. You don't want me to see you. Sit on the back row, dude. And you don't have a choice. You have to sit on the front row. That's it. So. Proverbs 3. You're there? Say amen. Look at verse 3. Ready? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What will happen? Verse 4. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So God says, you know what needs to be bound to your soul, to your heart, to your life? Mercy. Mercy. He's a merciful God. You can go back to Deuteronomy now. He's a merciful God. He's our example, and we need to demonstrate mercy. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Can't be kind to people, not genuinely kind. We can pretend to be kind, but not with a genuine heart of kindness unless you're forgiving. Sometimes it's hard to drop it, though, when you're feeling so emotionally hurt, offended. You have a bad taste or a bad memory. It sure makes it hard to be kind or to drop it. Not that you'll bring it up in a conversation routinely. You know how the joke goes. Our wives, they have great memory sometimes. And it is a joke. So I think sometimes it isn't a joke. But even if you don't say it, doesn't mean that it doesn't come up in you and you remember. And that bad taste sort of sort of surfaces in your mind, and the hurt is still there and it's fresh. And so we need God's help to be forgiving. We need it. Christ is our example, and we must learn to demonstrate a spirit of forgiveness. We must. It's critical for the unity of the church. Israel's moving into the promised land. We're going to be talking about it between now and the end of the book of Deuteronomy, because that is what this book is about. We're preparing you for the promised land. Moses is Moses' last words to the nation of Israel. He dies after the book of Deuteronomy. He's gone. And then Joshua takes over. So what's he saying? He says, I want to prepare you for the promised land. In unity can only be a reality in a nation when there's forgiveness. He says that what it ends up doing is it reveals your heart. Forgiveness reveals your heart. This is so powerful. I'm going to read the verses to you, but I'm going to say it first. This is so powerful. It reveals your heart in this sense, that you don't forgive somebody for their sake. You forgive somebody for Christ's sake. That's what it says. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so the forgiveness that reigns in our spirit isn't because we decided that we would forgive them. It has nothing to do with us. If we make it about us, then our focus is in the wrong place. We make it about Christ. And we forgive everybody because He's willing to forgive everybody. There's nobody we say, well, I won't forgive them. Well, Christ doesn't do that. You've made it about you. And so when our focus is on Him, then our focus isn't on the expectations that we have in people, but our expectation is in the right place. Our expectation is Him. And we can forgive the people who fail us out here because our expectation is the one who will never fail us. And our love is so strong for Him that it makes us into a loving person to everybody out here. In our passage, Moses is teaching Israel about permanent cancellation of debts as it relates to finances. It relates to you and I in the in the sense of relationship and personal struggles that we have between each other as an application. But look what he says as it reveals that there, when they forgive when they forgive financial debt, what they are truly saying is, I love the relationship that we have more than I love money. Okay? And the only way you can do that is to say, I love God and I trust Him more than I trust the money that you owe me. Okay, look at verse 4, the last part of it. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. What's that mean? It means you forgive the debts. You cancel the debts. What's going to happen then? God's going to take care of you. Look at verse 5. Only if thou carefully hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command you this day. So, you know God wants you to cancel the debts. And so because maybe financially you're wondering how it's all going to work out, but you believe God and you trust Him and He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to take care of you. So you forgive because you believe Him. And God says, I'll take care of you. It works the same in forgiveness. It works the same. Forgiveness frees you from being controlled by your expectations. Free. You're free when you're forgiving. You don't need people to fulfill your expectations so you can be happy. You don't need that. You are fulfilled. You are full with joy and peace. Why? Because you believe God. And that's enough for me. I don't need you to pay me all the money you owe me. Doesn't need to happen. God wanted me to forgive this debt. I forgive it and I trust Him. He's going to take care of me. The smile cannot be erased because God's going to take care of me. Same works with forgiveness. I do not need you to fulfill any expectation that I might have so that I'll be satisfied, happy, or full of joy. My expectation is Him. And I forgive you. I forgive the debt that could be there, the sin that might be there, the hurt that could be there. I give it to the Lord and I forgive. And my expectation is Him, and He's going to provide the joy. Because I don't need the world. We don't need people to bring joy to us. God gives us joy no matter the circumstance. And that's the promise. God is the one who takes care of those who have sinned. So, well, what about the one who hurt me? I mean, shouldn't they suffer a little? Well, it shouldn't be our desire to see people suffer, but consequences are a real thing too, and guess who can take care of that? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We don't have to do it. We just give them to the Lord. He'll take care of them. Forgiveness. The second thing that happens, the first thing is that it would reveal in Israel their trust of God. Then they forgive the financial debts, God's going to take care of them. And that's an amazing faith to forgive. The second thing is that it would help to prevent poverty in the nation. The forgiveness of debts would prevent poverty. Look at verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of the brethren with any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Jump to verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee with all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand to do. Look at verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Sometimes a person would be poor, would be unable to pay debt, would be unable to survive in a sense. And so the forgiveness of debt and the help in a financial sense would, if the nation would do this, then it would provide for the nation a kind of foundational strength that most nations wouldn't have. Why? Because when you have a nation that doesn't have poverty-stricken citizens, then there's a kind of strength there. And greedy, a greedy kind of heart prevents that. The cancellation of debts then would ensure that the nation would be at peace and there would be a strength there without poverty. It's a blessing. So how does that work in our life? Forgiveness, number two, then, allows peace to reign in our relationships. It allows peace to reign in our relationships. When you forgive and you're not holding things over people, then there can be peace there. You don't have to avoid people. Why? Because there's peace. There's nothing between us. There's no reason we can't fellowship and visit with each other. When forgiveness reigns, there can be peace. And when there's no relational poverty in a church, you have strong unity, you have a strong church. So forgiveness is a powerful part of what makes a church strong. In fact, I would say the reverse is true too. A church that has people who are bitter and won't forgive, it's like a crack in the wall. And it'll start to leak and eventually break. It'll break the dam. And then we have floods and destruction. Forgiveness is what frees us. It frees us as a church. It protects us as a church. It's needful. Why is it so needful? Because we're all sinners. We also need comfort, don't we? We need encouragement. The poor of the land would be those who they just don't have. And there are those that at times, they spiritually, they're just low. And what they need is an encouraging word, a loving kind of spiritual encouragement. And so for us as a church to continue and to rebuild and to grow and to become strong, a foundation in the future of Valley Avenue Baptist Church and the strength of Valley Avenue Baptist Church has to be forgiveness. Has to be. The nation of Israel moving into the promised land, they need to learn this concept of the forgiveness or the cancellation of debts. And just like they needed to learn this as a nation to take care of each other and to help each other in that sense, we need to learn the concept of the cancellation of debts and to forgive. To forgive each other. Learn to cancel debts. Learn to forgive. Don't be controlled by your expectations. Allow peace to reign in your relationships. And God will use that as a strengthening force in the church. Nobody likes to be around people that you have to walk on eggshells. Nobody likes that. And we all know what that feels like. Somebody just, they're on edge and you just can't even be yourself. They're just, you got to walk on eggshells. You get it. Let's not create that atmosphere. How do we keep from doing that? Forgive. When you truly forgive, then you can be kind to anybody. This is a great verse, and we'll finish with it. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You ought to be able to go to every single person in this entire church and smile at them with a genuine smile and say, how are you? A genuine smile, not a pretend one. Because that's what forgiveness does. So important that we do this. The future of the church is depending on this. Ask God to help us to forgive tonight, okay? Father, we trust that in you, that you, not only do you speak to our hearts and you guide us, Lord, you reveal in our life the areas that need to be addressed by you. And forgiveness is one of those areas, Lord. We face the temptation to allow hurts and frustrations and failed expectations to cause us anger and bitterness and grudges. And I pray that tonight you'd, through your Spirit, help us to understand the power of forgiveness and to be motivated to be forgiving. And we trust that your word will convict our hearts in the areas where we need to learn to do this. Thank you again for your grace. I pray for your blessing. I pray there'll be someone tonight that would decide that they would come and deal with this issue in their heart. I give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.